and then VEGF production, and then alter the tight junction, and then blood sugar level, and then like a cholesterol level, and all those different things. This is just a picture. Do I have a laser pointer?
There should be up there, unless.
Okay, I can use the pointer.
It's right
on
here.
The screen. Okay.
Second button.
Thank you. So this is a patient with a bad diabetic retinopathy, and it doesn't have proliferative changes, which means it doesn't have any abnormal vessel. However, you can see there's a lot of cholesterol deposits leaking out of the vessel, and those are all hemorrhages over here. So this region is a mac occlusion, which is responsible for our central vision, and the center of the macula is the fovea. So when the diabetic retinopathy involves the fovea, patient has decreased vision. Okay, there are several ways to approach to the diabetic macular edema. So in the past, things have been used to treat this problem. One is laser. It's still the gold standard of care for this type of problem. And also steroids, such as triamcinolone, which is a longer lasting steroid, has been also used. And recently, things like anti-VEGF agents such as Avastin, Lucentis, those are the medication that is being used for age-related macular degeneration, because they also have abnormal vessel problems. The vessel is very leaking, fluid leaking out of the vessel. So those agents also has been treated, being tried on the diabetic patients, and has very good results. So, as I said, laser therapy is still the gold standard, the standard of care. And it's been used to treat this type of problem for many, many years, at least 20 or 30 years now. And the surgery is the last resort. So if we treat a patient with lasers, the patient did not respond. We treat a patient with a steroid injection or Avastin injection, the patient did not respond. The last resort is just do a vitrectomy. The reason is the vitreous has a lot of increased concentration of VEGF. That's the factor what makes the vessel leaky. If you take out the vitreous, the concentration of VEGF inside the eye will be much lower. So hopefully the vessel become less leaky. So, but we don't do this until it's a last resort, because surgery is surgery. It carries a risk of a bleeding, infection, renal tear, renal detachment. Any kind of those complications can be very devastating. However, nowadays people are using combination therapy, such as use a combination of laser treatment with pharmacological treatment, such as injection. Okay, the rationale for like a various treatment is for lasers, it reduces the oxygen demand, so they will kill off the peripheral retina, which like you don't really need. Patient uses the peripheral retina for the peripheral vision, but most of patients don't even know this after the laser. But this can decrease the oxygen consumption, would decrease the oxygen demand. This will reverse the fluid movement in the macular region. And things like anti-inflammatory medication such as steroids, it actually decreases the inflammation inside the eye. So the vessel becomes less leaky. So it's less likely to have fluid accumulating in the macular region to cause decreased vision. And as I said, anti-VEGF agent, it's a very good product, because VEGF, anti-VEGF agent, another name for it is anti-permeability. It decreases the vessel like a permeate out of the, fluid permeate out of the vessel. So, the laser treatments, it works very well in certain patients if you have a focal, localized swelling in the back of the eye. Laser treatment is very good because it can target a specific area and it kills off the specific leaky vessel. So the fluid won't come out of the vessel anymore, and then the residual fluid that's already there can be reabsorbed by your body. However, the one drawback about the laser is every time we put the laser in there, it causes scarring. If the patient is not steady, like moving the eyes around, or the surgeon is not steady with the aiming beam, it can laser the wrong area. Then you can have a permanent blind spot in the center. That's not what you want. That can have a permanent decreased vision. And then And then it can cause a limited visual improvement. That's because, you know, if you give you a permanent blind spot in the center, of course, you can see very well. And then there's a frequent recurrence rate. So even though you cut off this vessel over here, other vessel can become leaky. It doesn't cure the problem unless, you know, the diabetes is under control. And it can cause scarring, like a fibrovascular scar because of laser causing the heating in the back of the eye, and it causing pigmentation, causing scarring. So overall, the laser photocoagulation determines unsatisfactory outcome and several side effects. So even though it's a gold standard right now, new clinical trials have been developed to try to different the pharmacological agent, because those doesn't cause permanent blind spot, doesn't cause scarring, to see if that can help with patients with macular edema. So several intravitreal injections can be used, such as steroids. Steroids is actually a very potent agent. It can inhibit angiogenesis, which means it can inhibit abnormal vessel growth. It also is an anti-inflammatory medication, as steroids, we know that, right? And then it also decreases the VEGF expression inside the vitreous cavity. And it decreases the permeability. It makes the vessel less leaky. So the Diabetic Retinopathy Clinical Research Network developed a randomized clinical trial to compare the intravitreal injection of triamcinolone versus the gold standard of the laser to see which one works better. So the criteria for enrollment is the patient has to be 18 years or older, they either have type 1 or type 2 diabetes, they has to have central foveal thickness on the OCT, which is a machine we can qualitatively like measure how much like a thickening on the back of the eye, has to be more than 250 micron thick. Because usually the normal retinal thickness in the center is less than 250. And the visual acuity should be is between like 2040 to 2320. And then the eligible eyes are randomized into different arms. Some patient is getting the laser treatment, some patients is getting the triamcinolone injection. There are two different dosage we're using. One is a lower dose, is 1 milligram inside the eye. The other one is 4 milligram, which is standard dose usually we do in the clinic. And they follow the patient in every 4 months. If there's any thickening of the central thickness more than 250 micron, then the patient can have a repeat treatment. So every 4 months until month 36. So it's a clinical trial of a 3-year period. And the result came out, okay, the primary endpoint is after 2 years, they measured the visual acuity just to see did the patient have improved vision after the treatment. And they also measure the central thickness with the OCT, which is the optical coherence tomography. It's a cross-section, it's kind of like an ultrasound, but instead of using sound wave, we use a light wave. It gives a cross-section image of the eye, and then it can qualitative measure how the thickness of the retina in the back of the eye. So far, the result shows the laser treatment actually is better than the injections. As you can see, a laser versus like a 1 milligram treatment of triamcinolone, laser actually has a 5 letters, patient reads better with the laser treatment. And then there's no difference between 1 milligram versus 4 milligrams of the triamcinolone treatment. And then this is just a line graph to show you that like laser, with a laser treatment, patient has actually more improved visual acuity compared to triamcinolone. Initially, when you have a high dose triamcinolone, the patient does have improved visual acuity, but it tapers off as time goes on. Okay, so the
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That chart back there, the one before this.
Other one before this. Uh huh.
Is this indicating that the vision improved
initially
after 4 months, and then it got worse again?
Yes. After 4 months, this is after first treatment, and vision has improved. But as time goes on, it doesn't really, it got worse again, exactly.
Oh.
So eventually, it doesn't really improve patient's vision.
Okay.
Only there was a laser treatment, it improves the patient's vision a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
And then this is compared to the patient intraocular pressure of the patient with laser treatment versus the triamcinolone, the steroid. As we all know, there's one type of glaucoma, it's called steroid response glaucoma, which means if you have long used like an injection inside the eye or topical steroids, the pressure inside the eye can go up. And it can cause glaucoma. Glaucoma, you know, as a problem with optic nerve, when you have increased pressure, they have a decreased peripheral vision. As you can see, the higher dose of steroids has increased problem with intraocular pressure, which makes sense as we know from the glaucoma study. And steroids causes cataracts, especially it's one type of cataract, it's called posterior subcapsular cataract. We really, really give you a lot of glare and then you decrease your reading ability. And as you can see, if the patient with a high dose of steroids injection, 50% of the patient after 2 years requires cataract extraction. Only 13% of the patient with laser treatment requires cataract extraction. So the triamcinolone does increase the intraocular pressure and it does increase the chance of a cataract formation. And then there's a dose response. Lower dose decreases the risk. Higher dose increases the risk. So from this study, the conclusion is the visual acuity benefit in 4 milligram triamcinolone group at a 4 month, which is consistent with the published case reports in the past. There's no visual acuity difference by 1 year, actually. So it improves the vision by 4 months, then it tapers off, doesn't really improve the vision that much. And the greater visual acuity benefit and the fewer side effects is in the laser group. Laser group doesn't really increase intraocular pressure, doesn't give you cataract. And then the OCT results was mirrors the visual acuity. Of course, the less thickening it is, the better the visual acuity it is. And then the laser or the injection improves the vision over the 2 years is compared to the patient who doesn't even have treatment. Because without treatment, definitely the patient usually lose vision. At least the treatment, even though it doesn't improve vision that much, at least it stabilizes the vision. It doesn't get worse. Okay, so several things have been tried just to do a combination therapy, steroid plus the laser. Because as we know, steroid sometimes works very well in certain patients, especially with a patient with diffuse leakage. We don't have, because laser works well if you focal point leakage, then we can just target that area. But if it's leaking everywhere, you can laser off everywhere, then you kill off the retina. So there's a combination therapies have been developed. You use steroid to reduce the majority of the leakage, and you use laser to take down the certain area that's leaking more. And there's a prospective randomized clinical trial being conducted, 111 eyes. It's been randomized into, not five groups, sorry, three different groups. One is a laser treatment, the other one is an injection, standard injection of the triamcinolone 4 milligram. The other one was a combination of injection plus the laser. And then we follow the patient in 6 months. And a combined treatment doesn't really see greater benefits of the visual acuity. However, it does decrease the frequency of needing laser or the decrease the frequency needs injection. So less injection will give you less chances to getting a cataract, less chances of getting like an increased pressure causing glaucoma. And as we know in the uveitis study, those patients have macular edema, but they're a little different from the macular edema they get from diabetes. Those macular edema respond very well with periobulbar injection. What it means by periobulbar injection? Intravitreal injection means the needle penetrates into the vitreous cavity inside the eye. The medication stays in the jelly inside the eye. Periobulbar means we put the needle around the eye. It never penetrates inside the eye. It's a deposit behind the eye. It's on the outside the tissue, outside the eye. So it will permeate through the conjunctiva and the sclera, the white part of the eye, but it never penetrated inside. It worked really well with the patient with macular edema from uveitis. So we say, hey, let's give it a try to see if that will help patients with diabetes. However, unfortunately, there's no statistically significant improved vision with this type of treatment. So it doesn't really work in patients with diabetes. Okay, so alternative treatment, instead of the intravitreal injection, injection inside the eye, or laser, other things has been developed, such as sterile drug delivery system. That requires a surgery. It's an implant. It has to be surgically implanted into the eye. Instead of getting like every few months injection inside the eye, this implant will release steady dose of the medication slowly over time. And then the implant will work for 36 months. So it's, you know, you don't need to get an injection every 2 months or so. You can just have one implant and it works for almost 3 years. And then there's other medications such as like Avastin, Lucentis, the anti-VEGF medication can inject inside the eye. So the Bausch & Lomb is the company who developed the fluocinolone implant. Fluocinolone is another type of steroids, different from triamcinolone. It's actually more potent than triamcinolone. So what it does is the potency lasts all the way to 36 months. So you only need one surgery once every 36 months. And then this is already passed the phase 3 trial. It's already been FDA approved. It's commercially available. And then it's been commercially available right now. It's only for uveitis to decrease inflammation. However, right now it's a phase 3 trial for diabetic macular edema. Okay, so this is just a line graph to see 3 month changes for the baseline. As you can see, this the yellow one is the one that with the implant, and then this one is standard of care, which means that's laser. Okay, implant versus laser. So in this group, the patient has more gain of vision is in the patient with the implant. But overall, they look pretty much similar, not that big a difference. So how safe it is to do the implant? As we find out, after 3 years, a lot of patients requires intraocular pressure lowering agent, which means after 3 years, a lot of the patients develop glaucoma with the implant. And then you can see 40% of the patient requires glaucoma surgery. Not only does this drops, but it requires glaucoma surgery. That's not a good ideal treatment, because glaucoma can be very devastating. You can lose vision like rapidly. So you already have diabetes that causing decreased vision. You don't want to, on top of diabetes, have glaucoma. They can make things worse. And if 40% of patients who have the implant requires glaucoma surgery, that doesn't really necessarily mean the glaucoma surgery will be successful. What if even with the glaucoma surgery, the pressure is still high? Then it's patient is screwed. They can't see very well. And the safety issues. Look at this. Lots of patient needs cataract extraction. Almost after 3 months, 100% of patient, after 3 years, 100% of patient requires cataract extraction. That's a given. So if you get this implant, you will have a very, very high chance of developing glaucoma, and you have 100% chance of developing a cataract that needs extraction. So I don't think it's an ideal medication for patients with diabetic macular edema. However, there's another medication on the horizon. It's in the phase 3 trial. It's also a implant, but you do not need surgery. It's an injectable implant. Take a look at this one. It's a tiny polymer. Can be just doing the office injection to deposit in the vitreous cavity, okay? And the medication is dexamethasone. Dexamethasone, right now is 956 patients enrolled total in all throughout the world. So far, the results are pretty promising. It has decreased chance of having glaucoma. They do have a little bit increase in intraocular pressure, but usually they're controlled just with eye drops alone, maybe just one eye drop, okay? Usually those patients don't require glaucoma surgery. And so this is a FAME study. As you can see, the patient's vision actually improved over time compared to controlled group. Patients do have improved vision after this implantable medication. And this is the foveal thickness. So as you can see, it's become less thickened after the implant. Only high dose implant, 21% of patients with increased intraocular pressure. Compared to the other implant, almost 80% of patients requires increased intraocular pressure. So it's a lot safer. First of all, it doesn't need surgery. Okay, it's a much safer procedure if it doesn't need surgery. And then only 20% of patients needs glaucoma eye drops versus 80-something percent. That's a huge drop-off. And cataracts. So it does increase cataract risk still. So 80% of patients requires a cataract extraction instead of 100%. So cataract is still a problem for those patients. So this is a dexamethasone implant. It's kind of like a big needle. It's like a 25-gauge needle. Usually when you do the intravitreal injection of the triamcinolone, it's a 30-gauge needle. So it's a slightly bigger needle. And it's this little polymer we inject it into the eye. It concentrated in the vitreous cavity. It doesn't flow all over the place, so you won't notice the implant is there, okay? And the overall results looks pretty promising. A patient does have increased vision after the implant. And it has a dose response. So higher the concentration, the better the visual outcome. And of course, the adverse events is usually, you know, increasing intraocular pressure in 12 to 17% of the patient, and then small amount of like hemorrhage, vitreous hemorrhage when you do the intravitreal injection. Okay, so remember I talk about different medication besides the steroids and the anti-VEGF medication. Things such as Lucentis and Avastin. Those are the medications being used for macular degeneration. So there's a clinical trial going on to see if those medications can work on patients with diabetic macular edema. So right now they're going through the phase one trial. Usually phase one trial, what they do is a small amount of patients they enroll, usually 10 to 20 patients. What it does is to see, is it safe to do it? Phase one is for safety. Phase two usually enroll 100 to 200 patients just to see the efficacy, to see if the medication works or not. And then phase three is a larger randomized trial it's right before the FDA approved, that's a phase three. So currently this is the phase one study for the Lucentis to treat the macular edema. As you can see, there's a mean reduction of the central foveal thickness after the injection of the Lucentis. Less thickening, better the visual outcome. And then you can see from the baseline, patient usually gained 12.3 letters in mean visual acuity. So usually the chart we use is ETDRS chart. It's early treatment diabetic retinopathy chart. This is a specific chart we use for randomized trials. Each line has 5 letters. They're equal difficulty. So it's not like a Snellen chart you've seen in the doctor's office. So some letters are easy to read, some letters are harder to read. But those are the difficulty to read is about the same. And then every time you drop, increase 5 letters, which means you increase one line of vision, okay? So 12 lines are almost like a 2.5 lines of vision. Each 3 lines of vision, it increases the visual angle by double the visual angle. So there's another study, it's a right study and the right study. It's also just a study of the efficacy of the Lucentis treating macular edema. And then they randomized a patient into one-to-one randomization. Some patient is getting the 0.3, which is the low dose of the Lucentis, and then the other one is getting the high dose of the Lucentis medication. And then the third group is getting sham, which means they're not getting any medication. They're just getting saline injection. But the patient doesn't know because it's a randomized trial, so the patient doesn't know which one they're getting. And when the results are going to be come out in 36 months and then compare. And then the patient gets the injection every 28 weeks, which means every 4 weeks, the patient gets injection. Either the true medication versus the saline injection. And the endpoints for this study is, for primary efficacy endpoints, they measure the visual acuity. So see how many patients actually has increased 15 letters gain, which means that 3 lines of letter gain. And all the secondary changes is like central foveal thickness. We're still measuring with optical coherence tomography. And also to see, is it safe to do injection? Any adverse events such as infection, retinal detachment, or hemorrhage? And if there's any evidence of antibody developing from our body to the Lucentis. And there's also a phase 2 trial going on using Avastin. Lucentis Avastin is both anti-VEGF factors. The difference between Lucentis and Avastin is Lucentis is a smaller molecule. Think about the antibodies like a Y-shaped molecule. Lucentis is a half of the Y-shaped molecule, and the Avastin is the whole Y-shaped molecule. So the objective of the study is to assess the dose and the dose interval related to the effects of the intravitreal Avastin on central foveal thickness and the visual acuity in subjects with diabetic macular edema. Assess the effects of intraocular Avastin combined with focal laser, which is still the gold standard of the treatment. And to assess the safety, is it safe to inject in the patient? So there, the patient was divided into 5 different treatment groups. One set of group is focal laser only. The other set of groups is like every 6 weeks, patient gets a smaller dose amount of Avastin. The other one is a higher dose of Avastin every 6 weeks. And then another group is getting a lower dose at the baseline, and then after that, it's sham injection, getting a saline injection only. And then the last group is getting Avastin plus laser treatment. As you can see, the OCT thickness, the central thickness, with the Avastin, the low dose Avastin, patient 33% decrease of the central thickness. With Avastin, with laser, 25%. So looks like Avastin alone is probably doing the majority of the work over here. And then letter reading scoring, 33% of patients improved letter reading, and 20% with the combination group. So, the steroids has a unique position to address the cascade events leading to macular edema, because it does decrease the VEGF production, it does decrease the inflammation, it does decrease the vascular permeability. So steroids is still a very potent agent to treat macular edema. However, as I mentioned, steroids has problems such as increased intraocular pressure, causing glaucoma, or causing cataracts. And then anti-VEGF therapy is being evaluated for diabetic macular edema. Right now it's in clinical trials, so it hasn't been commercially available. However, most of the retina specialists in the community, they will try to use the anti-VEGF therapy to treat macular edema. Really depends on insurance, because sometimes insurance doesn't pay for it. So have to warn the patient. If the insurance doesn't pay for it, it be out of pocket for the patient. However, the medication costs about $50 if it's Avastin, so it was not that expensive. And the clinical trial of seeing like laser versus intravitreal triamcin alone, so far laser still works pretty well, so it's still the gold standard of the treatment. And the combination treatment should be tried, because it can decrease the amount of injection that you need, and it'll decrease the amount of laser you need, because every time you laser, there should be some scarring in the back of the eye, so that's not good as a long term. And then steroid-based drug delivery system is on the horizon. So as long as we can develop a steroid implant, which decreases the chance of cataract, decrease the chance of intraocular pressure, and then last longer, that would be a better alternative treatment for the patient. Okay. Any questions? Go ahead. Yes.
Some folks, they call it cold laser, or the laser.
Yes.
So what's standard of care now?
A standard of care is argon laser. It's a green laser. So it doesn't damage the vessel underneath the retina. And what you want to do is you want to just light burn. You don't want a strong, hard, white burn. You don't want to see the burn. You will barely see the changes of the laser when you apply the laser to the retina. Usually what we do is we do a testing spot outside the macula, okay? And then slowly titrate the amount of energy we use. And then actually recently, it's it's always been using the green laser, but recently there's a new laser developed. It's called yellow laser. It's even milder than the green laser. Sometimes you don't even see the changes like on exam. However, if you do a fluorescein angiogram, which is like inject some dye into the vessel, take a picture, you will see the effect of that laser. So, according to the manufacturer, because this laser just came out, it's much safer because it decreases amount of scarring. Okay?